Tonight we'll be looking at Psalm 108, so I ask you to please turn there in your copies of God's Word. If you're using your Pew Bible, you can find this on page 644. Again, this is Psalm 108. And give attention as I read this evening. And as I read and you follow along, please note there may be some minor differences in what you see on the page and what I read. But hear now the Word of God, Psalm 108. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. That your beloved ones may be delivered, give salvation by your right hand and answer us. God has spoken in his holiness. With exaltation I will divide up Shechem and portion out the vale of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah is my scepter, Moab is my wash basin. Upon Edom I cast my shoe, over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have you not rejected us, O God? Do not go forth, O God, with our armies. O grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man. With God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our foes. So in the reading of God's word, may he bless that reading and now the preaching of his word. So that was Psalm 108, and you may be wondering why the variations if you were following along in your Pew Bible. Although those are the verses of Psalm 108, I actually read from Psalm 57, verses 7 to 11, and then Psalm 60, verses 5 to 12. And Psalm 108 is basically a combination of those verses, the first few verses being from Psalm 57, and then the last portion being from Psalm 60. All three psalms are written by David, and it's most likely that Psalm 108 is a combination that David made looking back on these other two psalms and piecing them together in Psalm 108. Now, if we consider Psalm 57 and Psalm 60, those two psalms, they start out with David in trouble, David in deep distress, David in over his head and sometimes in the face of his enemies. But then each psalm ends with what I've read this evening, with one of my our children's favorite psalms, Psalm 57b, that we sing a stanza from as a doxology. Oh, be exalted, O God. They end in praise of God for his exaltation over all the earth, his sovereignty, and his faithfulness. And as we look at this psalm, and I'll share this with you as well, I have made changes. So if you're following along in the bulletin outline, you'll have to write in. It's another one of those instances where after I printed them off, I was reviewing my work and made some adjustments. And so the application is different, and the reason it's different, as you have it in the bulletin, I was focusing on that verse of Psalm 108, have you not rejected us, O God? Do you not go out, O God, with our armies? And as I was initially studying the psalm, I was focusing on that verse. It was standing out to me. And so that was the application that you had there. Sometimes it feels as if maybe God has rejected us. A call in this psalm to remember his faithfulness and his steadfast love, or his sovereignty over all the earth. But as I began to re-examine it and to think about it, with these the pieces of Psalm 57 and Psalm 60 coming together, these portions of these psalms where David was in distress, but then he turned to God in praise, him bringing those two halves together into this one cohesive psalm, the focus is not on the appearance of maybe God rejecting us or not going out with us, but this psalm, I believe, is really a call to arms for the people of God. It's a call for us to be valiant. And so my eyes were driven then to the final verse. With God we shall do valiantly. It is He who will tread down our foes. And that final verse, coupled with the first five verses of this psalm, give us our application that we can take home from this psalm this evening. Is the psalm is a call to praise God for His steadfast love, His faithfulness, but also to fight valiantly in the good fight of faith. And the reason for that is because He is sovereign over our foes. So the application tonight that we'll be looking at is to praise and fight valiantly, for God is faithful and sovereign over our foes. And we'll be looking at this psalm in two parts. First, give praise to God, give praise for God is faithful in verses 1 to 5. And then fight the good fight valiantly, for God is sovereign over our foes, in verses 6 to 13. So first of all, give praise for God is faithful. A steadfast heart. The psalm begins, a psalm of David. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make melody with all my being. The idea of a steadfast heart, I want to draw your attention to, or your memory to, last week, as we looked at the idea of Scripture alone, and we focused on Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, where there we're told that Ezra set his heart to seek and to study the law of God. That idea of setting, just to recall your mind of the illustration I used, it's the idea of being firmly established. It's the idea of being like concrete at a construction site that is set, becomes a foundation, a bedrock. Here, David is saying, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is firm. That is where David begins as he begins to praise his God with a steadfast, a firm heart, praising him. He's praising him wholeheartedly, giving him wholehearted praise. And as the ESV has the next line, I will sing and make melody with all my being. And as I read from Psalm 57, it gave the idea of my glory. I will sing in praise with all my glory. And it's a subtle difference, but it's a good one for us to remember. If we consider all of our being and all that we are, when we consider our glory, I think it goes beyond just our heart and mind and being and spirit and soul, or soul and body. When you think about what our glory is, it's really all that we possess. It's all that we've been given. Whether that's the talents that we have physically that God has blessed us with, the material blessings that He has given us, as well as our minds and our hearts and our actual physical body. The call for singing and making melody to God with all of our glory, this idea of using not only all that we are, but all that we have and been blessed with for the praise and the exaltation of our God. David moves on, awake, O harp and lyre, I will awake the dawn. These instruments of praise being referenced here in the time of day, the dawn of the day, at the very beginning, there is an eagerness to this praise, and it's an eagerness not only seen in its urgency, I will awake the dawn with the harp and the lyre, my praise of you, but also its scope. David says that he will give thanks to you among the people. I will sing praises to you among the nations. It's not enough just to give praise and thanks for God to God among the people of Israel in Jerusalem, but throughout the whole world wants to shout and to praise God. And the reason for this praise then comes the next verse. It is the steadfast love of God. For your steadfast love is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. And so he exclaims, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. It's because of his faithfulness, his steadfast love. When we consider how God introduced himself in the book of Exodus, as he was giving Moses a new copy of the law in Exodus chapter 34, we read in verses 6 and 7 that the Lord proclaimed his name, and as he proclaimed his name, he emphasized his mercy, his faithfulness, his steadfast love, and his justice. His mercy and justice together emphasized. Here, David focuses on the steadfast love of God, his faithfulness, and through the steadfast love and faithfulness that God has shown to his people, his name will be exalted over all the earth. And as we consider what the steadfast love of God and the culmination of the steadfast love of God being in the work of Christ, as he laid down his life upon the cross and as he was resurrected and ascended on high, this display of God's faithfulness, as it is proclaimed and is, has spread throughout the world for the past 2,000 years, our God is being praised. Our God is being magnified. He is being exalted over all the earth because of the steadfast love and the faithfulness that he has shown as he sent his Son at the appointed time to redeem his people. And so we are called, along with David, with urgency, with eagerness, to praise our God, to praise him for the steadfast love that he has shown to us, and that is evident throughout the world, that is circling the globe and is spreading throughout the world to his glory, honor, and praise. And so, brothers and sisters, let us glorify God and praise him for this steadfast love that has been shown to us in Jesus Christ. David then turns as he finishes his cut and paste maneuver from Psalm 57 and now moves to the section of Psalm 60 that he is joining to compose Psalm 108. We read in verse 6, that your beloved ones may be delivered, give salvation by your right hand and answer me. The second point, the second section of the psalm, is a call to fight the good fight valiantly, as God is sovereign over our foes. David begins this section with a request, but then immediately we have the answer. God has promised in his holiness. As I read from Psalm 60, the translation is, God has spoken in his holiness. Now, as we consider what God has promised versus what God has spoken, one seems like it's stronger. You know, God has made a promise, that seems stronger. But when we consider God speaking, they're really equal. They're the exact same. God has spoken, and when he speaks, what he speaks is as good as done. His word truly never comes back void, it never comes back empty. And he has promised in his holiness, in his majesty, that with exaltation I will divide up Shechem and portion out the valley of Succoth. And Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah my scepter, Moab is my wash basin, over Edom I cast my shoe, over Philistia I shout in triumph. This list of nations surrounding the people of God is given to us as God shows his sovereignty over all the earth. His sovereignty over every single nation that calls earth home. Over all of his creation, from the farthest galaxy to the smallest speck of dust here on earth, all of it, everything, is under his sovereign control and care. Now these nations, as they're listed here, verse 7, Shechem and Succoth, this is an area where Jacob had lived. In verse 8, these are areas of the promised land, Gilead, Manasseh, Ephraim, and Judah. And then verse 9, these nations are enemies and foes of God's people. And notice they inhabit the lowest position of what God has set for them. Moab is his wash basin. Edom is just a place he casts his shoe, and he shouts in triumph over Philistia. God is showing his sovereignty over all the earth, and that he does with these nations whatever he desires. They are his to do with as he pleases. So as God speaks here, and in a sense answers David's request for deliverance and a call to help from God for his people, he answers by reminding David that these nations of the earth are mine to do with as I please. And so David then continues his request, who will bring me to the fortified city, who will lead me to Edom. The fortified city and Edom are one and the same. There was the city gate in of the main city in Edom was seemed to be an impenetrable fortress. It was a place that was very hard to conquer. So who will take me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? And then more questions. Have you not rejected us, O God? You do not go out, O God, with our armies. Verse 11 here, both lines should be considered questions. The second part of verse 11, it shouldn't be a statement. It's another question. You do not go out with God, or do you not go out, O God, with our armies? And as we consider these verses together, first of all, who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? The idea is, who will lead me in conquest of this fortified city? This enemy of God's people of old that seemed to be unconquerable. We, brothers and sisters, it pictures for us the true enemy of God's people. The enemy that we fight, our own sin and wickedness, Satan himself and death, all of these enemies of God's people are destroyed in Christ. It is in Christ that we have been led to the fortified city. We have been led to Edom to conquer it. So in verse 11, as these questions are asked, have you not rejected us, O God? And will you not go out, O God, with our armies? If we consider where these verses came from in Psalm 60, they recalled the early portions of the psalm. And in the early portions of Psalm 60, what David is lamenting is the anger and the wrath of God that seems to be poured out upon his people and the abandonment that they seem to be suffering. But now, as David has combined this section of 60 with 57, what's the purpose of these questions? What do they call our mind to? Well, as this psalm was, again, composed, and the others already being composed, I think it's right for us to follow the same path that David had for us with Psalm 60. As this verse in that psalm called our attention back to the beginning, this verse also, again, calls our attention back. And so when these questions are asked, we're called back to a reminder of the incredible, steadfast love of God, his faithfulness. So these questions, the answer to them, of course not. God has not rejected us. He has not abandoned our armies. It's as if the Apostle Paul would say, may it never be. This cannot be the case. God is forever faithful. So when we consider the steadfast love of God as it's in this psalm combined with his sovereignty, that is the motivation and the drive that we have as people have to pick up our battle instruments and to fight the good fight of faith, to fight valiantly. And so David ends this psalm with God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our foes. The word valiantly means with courage or determination. The spiritual warfare that we face as Christians, as we battle our own sin, it's not for the faint of heart. It takes courage. It's a hard war. It's one that the battles that we face seem to be never ending at times. But we have confidence that in Christ we have the victory. Jesus, through his work on the cross, has destroyed and had the victory over our enemy. Our enemy is a dying foe, still dangerous, but yet will be destroyed. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, after Peter proclaimed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against his church. As the gates of Edom would be destroyed as God led his people to overrun it, so too the gates of hell will be destroyed through the Lord Jesus Christ leading the host of heaven, including us, in battle against it. This means, brothers and sisters, as we consider our warfare that we have, that God being sovereign over our enemy, that his faithfulness to us, his steadfast love, that we will be victorious. And so it's a call to pick up our instruments of war, which is prayer, the word of God, the sacraments, these ordinary means of grace that God has given to us, and to make use of them, to seek him, to set our hearts firmly, steadfastly in pursuit of him. Because as we do this, we will have victory. Because God is the one who has trampled down our foes, so let us fight valiantly. And so, brothers and sisters, as this psalm directs us to the steadfast love of God and his sovereignty over all of our enemies, the call for us is to praise him for his faithfulness and to fight valiantly with courage and determination to advance the kingdom of God in our own lives and in the life of our church. And so, brothers and sisters, let us praise and fight valiantly, for God is faithful and he is sovereign over our foes. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thank you for your steadfast love. Lord, your faithfulness amazes us. We are, Lord, continually faithless against you, but you remain true to what you have spoken. You will not forsake us nor abandon us. So when it seems as if maybe you are far off, let us, Lord, remember your steadfast love and know that you are with us and that you are sovereign over our enemies and you have won the victory in Christ. We pray, Lord, that we would submit humbly to you and that we would fight the good fight of faith, and that we would see in our lives daily the fruit of the victory we have in Jesus Christ. In his name we do pray. Amen.